like good singing all the way around. Let me see if I can get this little button here turned on. How about that? Is that it? Take your Bible, if you will, please. We'll be looking in the book of Psalm tonight, in Psalm chapter number 78. I'll give you a moment to find that, and then we'll stand and read it. In Psalm 78, there's a passage there that we're going to look at. And verse 35. You're able to stand, and we'll do so while we read that. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, and neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, and how good it is to be in the house of God. Bless, I pray, the word to every heart tonight. Right every wrong. Lord, we pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted. Set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. And be seated. I want to preach on a little while tonight on you cannot sweet talk Jesus. Did you read that passage there and you look at it? They remembered that God was their rock and that God was their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth. You know what that is? That's why you live like you want to live, and then you want to talk about how good God's been to you. And let me tell you right now is you can't flatter God. God's not going to be flattered. In fact, is you remember over there in the book of Matthew, and you don't have to turn there, but over there in the book of Matthew, and whenever he said, this people draw nigh unto me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's flattery. That's trying to get somebody to be flattered in and impressed. And, you know, if you're going to fool somebody, try to fool humanity. You can get by with that maybe, but you're not going to ever be able to flatter and fool God. Yeah. In the lesson that you're looking at, you'll find that what that is that he noticed their heart. When they were praising God with their lips and with their mouth, you'll find out that God looked at their hearts and said, they're not right in their heart. I don't know about you, but I want to be right in my heart if I possibly can. I don't just play both ends again in the middle. I just want to be able to be right in the sight of the Lord and thank God for the goodness of God and the church of the living God and the people of God that I can serve with and the message of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, the Bible teaches us is that whenever they looked into it, when you begin to really look down into the subject that we're talking about at hand, is that there's been many a person that are in the world that we're living in that were religious but lost without God. And here's what they would do is that they honored with their mouth, but in works they denied him. You could tell how it was. You know, some of the most gabby people that I've had in days gone by, when especially testimony time. I don't want to make you gun shy because anybody here could give a testimony. I wouldn't think nothing about it. But if you hadn't been to church but once or twice a year, and yet you can have a testimony time, one MJ birds be the first one to jump up. They'll look around and everybody, well, preacher, I guess ain't nobody else. I'll just go ahead and tell you how much I love God and blah, blah, blah. I've recalled that more than one occasion. And I was thinking about it in all the heart, and I thought, Lord, now, I hope you won't let this make an impression upon anybody. If they're as much as this gal's full of God, or guy, whatever it was, as much as they're full of God, the rest of the crowd may go to thinking I can come twice a year and be close to God too. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, is that there's a lot of fools that just don't clearly see what God's talking about. And let me say what God is talking about is that he wants us to be faithful unto him. Now, there's a passage over in Psalm 5, and if you'd like to turn to it, Psalm chapter number 5, the Bible said there in about verse number 9. Psalm chapter 5, and it's about verse number 9. And here's what he says in that passage. He said, for there's no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat's an open sepulcher, and they flatter with their tongue. Of course, the psalmist cries out, destroy them, O God. But let me tell you right now, is one of these days they're going to fall by their own counsel, so forth and so on. Notice that the Bible said that whenever you begin to look into it, that God's not very impressed with flattery. Now, you and I, we kind of like it, and people are bragging on us or trying to pat us on the back and telling us how good that we are and so forth and on. I remember whenever I first surrendered to preach, and an old preacher told me, said, there's going to be a lot of people come by, shake your hand, brag on you how good you are and this and that, and you're a blessing and all, and don't believe none of them. What you better do is just try to do the best you can to please God. You ain't got to explain it. You ever shook hands with somebody and said, and that was a blessing to my heart. Well, now they've got to explain how that it's all the Lord, it's not none of them, and blah, 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 and I don't have, well, I already knew that. So whenever they brag on you, don't try to give an explanation for it. Just say thank you and let them go right along. And let me tell you right up front, make no mistake about it, is that it's going to happen more than once. You may be a Sunday school teacher, it'll happen. You may be a person that sings a special song, it'll happen. You may be a person, you know, that's just a good, faithful servant in the house of God. Well, it'll still happen. Now, the reason being is because that we live in a world that loves how not only flattery themselves, but they love to flatter others somehow or another. Now, I want to tell you, we live in a world that never does wrong anymore. You ever notice that? I mean, used to whenever I first started out, and there wasn't many times, but every now and again, you'd see somebody got crossways with God, crossways with the people. And by the way, when you get crossways with the people of God, you're crossways with God. Yes, till you get that business straightened up and straightened out, you're crossways with God. Yes. The Bible said that if you sin against the brethren, you sin against Christ. Yes. Very simple. Now, I don't have to like you, but I don't want to be crossways with you. I want to be able to help you just as quickly as I would anybody else. Now, I don't see anybody in here that I don't particularly like. But if something were to happen that I started not liking some people, I've got a list. But you're not here. They're not here tonight. You could get on that list pretty easily. But not tonight. You're not on there tonight. It's good to be able to be saved and to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And as a result of that, when you begin to look into it, you're going to find out is that over there in the book of Colossians, chapter number 3, and you can turn there or not, but over there in chapter number 3, and I believe it's in about verse number 25, he talks about those that doeth wrong, they're going to receive of the wrong that they are doing, and said, God is no respecter of persons. You know, God's not doesn't feel the same way about a person as I do. They may not be my favorite cup of tea, but they obviously, God said, I'm not a respecter person. If you do wrong, whether you like it, lump it, love it, or leave it, you're going to receive of the wrong that you've done.
Yes, sir.
You know, this Bible said that when you begin to look into it, over there in the book of Job, chapter number 17, it's about verse number 5, the Bible said that the eyes of the children shall fail if you use a flattering tongue. In fact, let me just read the passage to you. It's in the book of Job, and it's in Job chapter number 17. And if I can find that right quickly, I just wanted you to be able to realize and see. You know, no man lives or dies unto himself. And let me tell you right now, what we do affects not only our children, but others round about us. And in the book of Job, in chapter number 17, this Bible said there, it's about verse 5, he that speaketh flattery to his friends. You know what that is? That's blowing smoke on people that you know, and you don't really mean it. He that speaketh flattery to his friends, even his eyes of his children shall fail. You wonder why we live in a world that's got kids growing up blind as a bat? That's one of the reasons right there. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at here, you're going to find out over there in the book of Mark. I like to be able to study and look at every now and again. Remember that fellow by the name of the Apostle Peter? Remember him? Well, if you were to read and study over there in Matthew 14, you'll find that he had an experience like we've never had and never will be able to have. But let me tell you right now, he walked on the water with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me say to you, the same man that walked on the water with Jesus and got back safely to the boat is that that man is now about to be instructed that he's going to deny the Lord. Look in Mark chapter 14. Mark 14, about verse 29. In the passage there, he saw what he said. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will I not, or will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake more vehemently. In other words, I guess maybe he was vehement, now he's more vehement. And he says, here's what he speaks to the Lord. And obviously he's thinking the Lord don't know him the way he does. And he said, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. And likewise said they all. Now they all of them done the same thing Jesus said they were going to do. Yes. And let me say to you that if you will, their lives were in jeopardy. They knew the Lord Jesus Christ was being framed at a mock trial, and certainly that they were going to try to crucify him. And let me say, they all forsook him and they all fled. But see, nobody thinks you're going to do that until it comes down to where the rubber meets the road. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, here's a guy that no doubt was eager. He was honest in what he had to say. Here's a man that knew the Lord. Here's a man that was very aggressive in his remarks. And as a result of that, here's a man that really and truly believed he could after having walked on water with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this lesson, let me say to you that, if you will, that we find out that sooner or later that old Philip, Simon Peter, rather, he's following Jesus, but he's following afar off. That's what happens when you go to getting too self-confident. You not only get a little further back and a little further away, but you'll get to where you're far off. Did you know that the Bible said that when pride gets a hold of your heart, and by the way, pride's an awful thing. In fact, the Bible says over in the book of Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, out of all these years that I've been doing this, and I've been doing it a long time, as you well know, for 50 years now, 30 of them right here. I was talking to Miss Deanna, and all these years she's been with us from the get-go. Some of you others have. You know, we've had people that started out just common people like we are. Loved God, loved the Bible. Hey, go to praying with me about this opportunity, this business. Pray with me. I'm trying, and they wanted us to pray, and we did pray. And, buddy, they got a business, and it became a lucrative business. And I'm talking about they began to rake in money with hand over fist. And guess what? We got to where we was too small for them. And guess what? They got to where that they were afraid they were putting in too much money and that they wasn't getting enough saved. Now, let me just drop this on you like a ton of bricks. Sometimes I don't just tithe, I give above my tithe. And let me tell you something else. Whenever I do give my tithe and mission offering to God, I've not done any more than anybody else is, and it don't matter how much or that they put in or what they do, is that if you're a tither, then I guarantee you $100 off of $1,000 means as much as $1,000 off of whatever that is. You do the math, $100,000. See what I'm talking about? God's given it on an equality, has he not? That's the reason why that he said to that crowd one day that was well-to-do and putting in of all of their abundance, and he saw that widow put in two mites and said, see that widow's mites? She's put in more than all of them. Because you gave out of your living of your abundance, and she's given everything she had. Now, I got to tell you right now, I've not done that. I can tell you something else under that so you don't feel so bad about it. I'm not planning on doing that. But I am planning on tithing, and I am planning on giving the missions, and I am planning on, you understand me? I'm planning on all that business right there, and make no mistake about it. is that I don't want to be driving around in a vehicle on God's money or anything else, or living in a house or buying clothes or whatever else that I'm doing. I want to be able to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, Simon Peter and these men, they all of them, they said, we're not going to deny you. And they did deny. And finally, Simon Peter, if you remember, as he's walking a little far behind to see what's going to happen to Jesus. But you read in this chapter here, you can read it in Matthew chapter number 4. You can read it over there in the book of Luke in chapter number 22. You're going to find out that while he's over there, there's somebody catches Simon Peter standing out by the fire and he's warming. And they said, aren't you one of his disciples? Don't I remember seeing you? And Simon Peter denied him. Denied, no, I'm not one of his. I don't know the man I'm telling you. In a few minutes, you'll find out there's another one that comes along and also begins to ask and say the very same thing to him and says, you're one of his disciples. I remember seeing you and so forth and on. And as a result of that, you're going to find out that he got a little stronger with it, no doubt about that. And he said, man, I am not. In about the space of an hour, there was another confidently came confirmed saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he spake, the cock crew. And let me say to you that, if you will, that after that he got to the place and aware that one time that somebody said, your speech bereath you. And boy, he changed it and began to curse and swear. I'm telling you, I don't know the man. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at in chapter number 22 in the book of Luke, and the Bible said in verse number 60, and Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he spake, the cock crew, and the Lord... Look, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how that he had said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And look, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you're saved by the grace of God, it took just as much grace to save me as it did Simon Peter. And may I remind you that that God's grace will be sufficient for you. And may I also remind you that whenever he turned, Jesus looked at him and he went out and wept bitterly. The same effect that sin had on Simon Peter, it'll have on you and I. You know, I'm not worried too much about people, you know, that are brokenhearted because they've sinned against God, regardless of where they've been, what they've done, how far down in the gutter they've been. God can reach farther down than you'll ever reach up. What worries me is that religious Pharisee who's never done any wrong in their eyes, and yet everybody else can see the wrong they do. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you some lessons we learned here, and here it is. You may have good intention, but you'd better not put any confidence in the flesh. The apostles did it, and they all of them forsook him and fled when that fear grabbed hold of them. Not only that, but second of all, you'll find yesterday's revival experience of walking upon the water hand in hand with Jesus is not going to be a once and forever fix all that you can rest in. And then not only that, but let me tell you, we're going to have to come before the Lord every day. What do you think Matthew 6:11 said? Give us this day our daily bread. Every day we ought to approach the Lord, be thankful. I got to say to you, we're worried in life too much about eating and drinking, being merry and wearing clothes and this and that and all that and buying new threads. Let me tell you something right now. We better get our eyes up on the Lord and the will of God and the mind of God. And to know that all these things that you and I have concern about, that the Gentiles in the world have concern about, and that God knoweth that you have need of these things, yes, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It's a daily renewal, day by day, in fellowship with God. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm saved. I know Him and the free pardon of sin. I'm troubled and struggle about many things that come up in life. I'm real concerned about this election that God's already got figured out. I wish we could go ahead and hurry up and have the thing, but if we had it today, the wrong person would win it. It doesn't make any difference. I can tell you right now is that it's going to be tight all the way unless God really intervenes. And my word, I don't know how in the world that we can expect God to intervene on what He's got to intervene on.
Yes, you're right.
But I'm hoping God will give us a little space in these last days that we're living in. I know He said over there in the book of Psalms, "Be still and know that I'm God." Sometimes that takes a lot of faith and a lot of grace to be able to do that. All right, in close, that I want to say to you is that when you begin to recognize and know that you are going to have to stand for God, you're going to have to lead your family as the leader of your house, you're going to have to stand for God. Now, honey, this is what the Word of the Lord said. This is what we're going to do. Now, if you don't stand on what God said, the way God said it, where God said it, the reason why God said it, if you don't do that, then somebody else is going to lead you.
Yes, you're right.
And let me tell you right now, is they'll never have your best interest in view. If you'll follow the Lord, I'll tell you, He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And let me say to you, it's not my job to change people. It's my job to confront them. And once I've done that, sometimes you're wondering about, you know, and now all the times we've been here, we've had more than a few that come and went. And I want to tell you right now is I never try to talk a person out whose mind's made up that they're going to be gone. My heart's broken. I'm concerned about all this and that. But you know the reason why I don't? I'll tell you why. Is because all I've ever done in 50 years of trying to talk somebody out of making a bad decision, I have prolonged their misery and ours too. I would to God it could be different. It doesn't have to be that way. I had one man over in Louisiana one time. He was going to leave because he was mad at somebody. I said, "All right, well, let me just tell you before you go ahead and do that. Is that you're going to be jumping from the frying pan into the fire, and I'm afraid you're going to get your britches scorched." And here's what I told him, and I said, "Give it about 2 weeks, and I'll pray with you, and you can pray with me. We'll pray together for 2 weeks solid about this decision. And if it's the will of God, in 2 weeks' time, it'll still be the will of God, and you'll know it. But it just might be that in 2 weeks' time, we'll see God feels differently about this situation." In 2 weeks' time, God did feel differently. God felt the same way He always did, but it took Him that long for that man to be able to see that. I just said all that so you'd know God is ever sitting on the throne. Everything's running right on time. Make no mistake about it. Is that He is God, and besides Him, there's none else. I hope that you'll rest in Him and trust Him in this situation. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we ask Your blessings upon this service here tonight. Bless, I pray, these boys and girls, these men, these women. Lord, even now we pray for those that'll be traveling. We pray that, Lord, You'd watch over them. We pray that You'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. Help us, I pray, to look unto Thee, the author and finisher of our faith. Heal those that are sick. Be with those now that could not be here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.